Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Christopher. With world-renowned psychic, spiritual teacher, and healer, Christopher Reburn. Visit Christopher on his website at www.reburn.org to schedule a private reading with him, view tour schedule, his spiritual audio CDs, and much more. Whether you are a spiritual beginner or a spiritual warrior, Conversations with Christopher is geared towards your continued spiritual learning and development. And now, please welcome Christopher Reburn.
Hello friends, wherever you are in the world, thank you so much for listening today. Very special show. It's been a long time in the making. The last time Manolo was on the show was in 2014 and 2015, so it's been a little while since the last time he was on, and we're so glad to welcome him back. Manolo was born in Cologne and now lives between there, Dublin, and Spain. And in addition to A New Life in Ballet, he has written and published three other books, including A New Life on the Camino, of course, my personal favorite. He's built up quite a media profile through interviews in newspapers and magazines, radio, TV, all over the world. And he's given special readings from his books in Frankfurt, at the book fair, a lot of other institutes, and at a series of events across Germany and Scotland. His connection with Bali has led to his participation on two occasions in the U-Bud Writers and Readers Festival, which those of you that are familiar realize it's a major literary festival held in Bali. And he's back with us today to share his wit and wisdom with us once again about the Camino de Santiago, which he himself has travel down upon, as well as more information on Bali, his book, and so much more. So without further ado, let's welcome my good friend, the fantastic Manolo Link. Hello, friend, and welcome back.
Hi, Christopher. I'm very happy to be back. And when you said it, the last interview was 2015, I cannot believe it, that's 2 years ago. And first, I am saying hello to all listeners around the world. And I'm really happy to be back.
And we're so glad to have you back. It's been a long, long, long time. And I know that you've been so busy with your books and traveling and back and forth, which we're going to talk a lot about today. I want to start off by talking a little bit about some place that holds such a big part of your heart, and I'm talking about the Camino de Santiago, which those of you who are not familiar with this is a 500-mile pilgrimage through Spain and through some of the most beautiful parts of the world that you walk 20 miles or so every day for about a month or so, give or take. And Manolo has done this fantastic pilgrimage. What was that journey like for you, and would you do it again?
For me, it was a real life change. Before I walked the Camino, I was a couple of years depressed. I was tired about life. I was ready to go home to God. But God made the decision and said, you have to stay. I'm sending you on a way that will bring you happiness again. And, you know, on the end in Finisterre, I met Jean from Dublin. I didn't search a woman. I give up wishes and expectations. Just I walked and I said every day, thank you very much. And I cried. I cried a lot on the Camino for happiness. And I felt how precious this way is and how precious this way still is. Then I'm very happy I can spend a lot of time in Finisterre and having conversation with pilgrims around the world. What I like very much, that's giving me a lot, you know. And pilgrims, I like pilgrims because they have the courage starting away. They are opening themselves, you know, and they will meet a lot of other pilgrims. They have the same way, and it's amazing, the Camino. I'm very happy for every pilgrim they're starting on the way, you know.
It's such a fantastic journey. Would you do it again? Would you walk the Camino again? Do you have any plans to do that again?
No, plans not. At the moment, I have other Caminos. Now I am another week in Dublin, then I'm going to Germany. I'm running writing workshops as well. And then I'm going back to Finisterre. I will start a new book, what I like very much. And then my plan is in October going to Bali to the U-Boot Writers and Readers Festival. I'm really excited about this one. For make contacts about my Bali book, it is translated in English. And that's my Camino in the moment. It is possible that next year or in 2 years I will go another Camino, but in the moment it's not in planning in my life.
Why do you think most people choose to do the Camino de Santiago? Why do you feel that most people decide to do that of all things?
A lot of pilgrims going for saying thank you. Thank you for discovering from a health problem, saying thank you for a beautiful life. And a lot of people walking the Camino, I think they have a feeling or the intuition telling them, go, or my life is not really working, you know, I need some changings, I need some answers. I think it is more intuition, a feeling, now I have to go. I need changes, and that's the most reason that people walking the Camino.
What is the percentage of the people that actually finish, the people that start, and versus the people that actually finish the entire Camino? I know a few years ago we talked about this, and the numbers of those that actually were completing the Camino was actually getting stronger and bigger. Is that still happening now? Are more people starting and actually finishing the entire Camino than before?
Yeah, I think more finishing the Camino. What is most important about walking the Camino is time. And a lot of people, they don't have time. They cannot walk 4 weeks or 5 weeks. They're walking 200 kilometers or 300 kilometers. They're walking 2 or 3 weeks. But they are starting the Camino, the whole Camino. I think the most are finishing. My guessing is around 90%. That is a guessing, but I believe this.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's good. And of course, you've got a book about the Camino that you're working on to come out, and a really wonderful, inspirational, true life story. Your book called A New Life on Bali, which has been all of Manolo's books are in German, but this one has been transcribed into English. Will be published later this year. It's called A New Life in Bali. It's the inspirational true life story. It tells the story of how a couple's love becomes their focus when the wife is diagnosed with cancer and eventually dies, leaving her husband, of course, Manolo, heartbroken. The story begins with magical happenings in Bali when he returns there with her ashes and ends 14 years later when he returns to Bali with his new love. Of course, we're talking about the beautiful and talented Jean Callanan, who's been on the show before and will be back on next month, who's an Irish woman that he met while on his pilgrimage to the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. This book means so much to you. How important is it that it's finally been transcribed into English, so now that your American audience will finally be able to read this book in English? How important is that to you, this whole process in bringing this book to life?
Christopher, when I'm listening to your word, I'm feeling again moved. I'm having goosebumps, and it's very precious. You know, with this book, I will send hope to the world and telling people, even when you are what I don't wish, when you have a loss, when you lose your wife or even a child, you know, what is even harder, I think, that you are to be able coming back to happiness after time. I mean, there's time. You need time for suffering, you know, but there's all the time help, you know, and that is the reason I published this book. And it is now a work over 21 years, you know, and there's a lot of work in it. And I think more I'm thinking about my wife Gisela, who died, I think it is her unspoken wish, publishing this book and sending it to the world for give support and helping other people, you know. I have a feeling it is on the way and it will be go around the world and people will love this book.
Oh, yeah.
And the end is,
I think so,
unbelievable,
too.
You know. Yeah.
It's very beautiful. The book is really wonderful. It's called A New Life in Bali. And wouldn't it be wonderful if this gets turned into a movie? Wouldn't that be something to see this on the big screen at the cinema, this magnificent story? That would be just, I'm sure, almost a dream come true for that to happen. It would be so inspiring, and we certainly hope that does come to pass. But the American audience will be able to read this book later this year. This has been a large part of your life in putting this book together and getting it published in English, and of course it's published in German and other languages. But what has this process been like? Because it's been going on really for almost two decades, literally from start to finish, and then getting it published in America. What is the entire experience for you been like to see this book come alive?
Yeah, you're right. That's now 20 years. It's a long time. When I started writing it, I have this picture in front of me. I started writing when I came with my brother-in-law from Bali, when we wrote The Ash to the Waterfall, you know, and I wrote it. I wrote my experience. I wrote it down with my hand, and then I got the intuition, write a book about it. And then it was a process. I finished the book, and then I think I did 12 editings. You know, I worked it out, and then it was, I think, a couple of years, perhaps 5, 6, 7 years. It was sleeping in a drawer, you know, and I thought, wait a moment. And then I studied creative writing by a German writer, Rüdiger Heinz. And then I had a conversation with other students, and then I realized I will keep going with the book. And then it developed, you know, and until we had the idea we are going for translation English, we found a good translator, a very good translator, Birgit Lederer. She's staying in South Africa. She's from England. She's very good, and she loved her job. She said she loved translating this beautiful story, and we have a literature agent in the States, Tracy Brandon. She's beautiful too, and she sent it to some publishers, and I'm sure when the time is right, we will find the right publishers. Then I stopped searching. I am by finding. I'm not by searching. I'm by finding. Then when I'm searching, I don't have time for finding, you know. It's my philosophy.
That's a good way of looking at things. I think that's going to be really helpful to some of our listeners. That's a really good thing at looking at things. You know, you have such a really good way of looking at life, such a positive way that so much has happened to you with, you know, the book, of course, your beloved wife passing, and there's been so many hardships that you've had to endure to live this life, to continue on this life. When you think about it, what's some of the things that really brought you back again, you know, when you were so close to wanting to go home, as you said, to be with God? What were some of the things that brought you back to the living, that brought you back and said, no, you're not finished yet?
Yeah, that was a very good friend in Germany, Connie. She, by accident, she gave me a religion book, like a little Bible, you know. And then I realized I'm feeling depressed, you know. And in this situation, there's only one help for myself, that is God. And then I start praying. And then I said, God, please help me and show me a way how I can live in happiness again, you know. And God showed me a way, and he showed me first friends. They are important that I came back to life, you know. And then I had the courage starting on the Camino. I think 2 years before 2005, before I started, I hadn't the courage. I was in my room, and I didn't go out, you know. I had fears. And with fears, you know, you cannot start away in Spain. Even my Spanish is not very good. It was not very good. Now it is better. But I didn't have the power. But then I had the power and I started. And with every step, you know, more power came back and more happiness. But the start was, I prayed to God and I asked, please help me.
And when the last time that you were on the show in 2015, a couple of years ago, we did a segment about ways to be happy, ways to live a more fulfilling life. Do you think that some people have to experience great loss to really appreciate the things that they do have?
No, I think there are other ways. I think I'm sure a way for happiness is sharing. You know, as an example, I have a picture here. I have a godchild in Peru called Santa Yolanda. I am sending every month some money to Peru, and it's make a difference. And just I got a picture of Santa Yolanda was shopping. I sent a Christmas present, some money, and she was shopping two pairs of shoes and a lovely skirt, a lovely dress. Even loo paper she bought. You know, loo paper are on her shopping list in Peru. I like this. I had tears in my eyes when I watched this picture, and I could make a difference. That's make me happy. And I am sure when we are sharing, when we are giving, there's a way for happiness. Mother Teresa said the way to world peace is sharing. There's enough food in the world, enough money. We have to share it, you know, and that's make happy. I am very happy when there's a child happy, when I can send money for food or for a pair of shoes, you know. That's make me very happy, yeah.
And it's the little things that mean so much more to these beautiful people. That's quite remarkable. Speaking again about your book, A New Life in Bali, how much do you believe that your beloved, you know, wife who's in heaven, how much help do you suppose that she's giving you now in continuing to get this book out to the world? Do you still feel her support and her energy with this book?
Do you know, just in the moment I'm getting goosebumps again and I'm feeling it. I'm absolutely sure. Do you know, I believe on science. We are getting science. And my signs are numbers. My lucky number 17 and 7, you know. Even when sometimes I have my, you know, I'm a human. I have my little problems. And when I'm sometimes losing a little bit my courage or my trust, then in Finistère, there's a car with the birthday from my wife, you know. Actually, it's tomorrow now when we speak about it. 7654, you know. Then the birthday, the car with the birthday from my wife is coming and telling me it's all okay, have trust, have patience, keep going, you know. And do you know the coincidence that tomorrow is her birthday? From Gisela.
Wow.
No, I don't believe about coincidence, I know.
No, of course not. Of course not. So when people read this book, I mean, it's something that, of course, your German readers and people that can understand German have already read the book, most of them. And it's really such a phenomenal read. It takes you from all these twists and turns, and you give so much of yourself in the book, which must not have been easy in going through some of the very difficult things that happened. When your wife passed away, did you think that life for you was over also? I mean, did you think this was the end for you as well?
No. I was beside my wife. I held her hand when she died, when she did the last breath. And then I had a very strong feeling that is not the end. There was the body, but I had a feeling there is something in the room. I try to describe it in the book, but you know, there are things you cannot describe. But my feeling tells me here's something. I haven't a clue what it is. It could be the soul, you know. I believe it is the soul. They went to heaven then, and it was, when I'm thinking now about it, it gave me a peace, you know, and it was important for myself being beside my wife, Gisela, when she died, and realizing that is not the end. And I lost my fears for that. I believe very strong we are living forever, the soul and the spirit. You know, it's all energy, and that's, I think it, not I think, I'm sure on the end that that's giving me a lot, you know, for my life. I mean that the first 3 years that I had very tough years, you know, and actually a couple of weeks after my wife died, I have been to a hospital, and I needed this one. I needed support, you know. I was alone in my flat, and I lost my job, you know. And this time I lost my job, and I lost my wife. And this hospital, I wrote this in my book too, they did a great job on me, and I was around people. I could speak about my problem, you know, and that was good too.
It's been an incredible journey for you, and in many ways it feels like it's just getting started. The more people that read the book, the more people that join forces with you to create a better world full of more love and peace. With everything going on in the world, I mean, I'm sure you're very aware of everything in North Korea and America and all these foreign territories that are pretty much virtually at war. Do you think world peace is still possible? Do you think that we've come too far away from each other? Do you think world peace can still happen?
Absolutely. And do you know, often in Finisterre, I'm telling pilgrims, I believe that all people on this planet can live in love and peace. And do you know, the most response is people saying they don't believe it. And then I'm saying, sorry when you don't believe it, but the more people believe it, the bigger is the chance that we are living in peace. Then what we are believing, we are creating the future with it, with our words, with our thinking, and with our belief. And I believe the bad ones, they will go. Then the biggest power in this world is love. You can kill whatever, but you cannot kill love. That is not possible, you know. And we have a lot of evidence in this world that you cannot destroy love. You can destroy whatever, human's body, but not love and not life. You know, when we are aware that we are living forever, people can actually, they cannot lose their own life, then their life will keep going, you know. You are losing your body. But I think when you are 90 or 100, you are happy that you are losing your body, then it's old. I mean, people are not happy when they are dying with 10 years or, you know, I'm sure about this one. But I think the bad ones, they will go. Then love is the biggest power in the world.
And that's so encouraging to hear that, because so we've got so many people listening today from all over the world that are tuning in, listening to you on every word that you say. Friends, if you're joining us, we've just got a few minutes left in the show today. We're talking to my friend, definitely a spiritual brother of mine. I'm talking about the fantastic Manolo Link. This is the third time he's made an appearance on our show, and many more, of course, are coming up in future. And so you're on the Camino, you're doing the Camino, you're finding your place in life again, and here comes this beautiful woman by the name of Jean Callanan who comes into your life. What was those initial moments like when you first seen Jean? What did you think? What was the first thought that you thought when you first connected with her?
That was special. Then, you know, Jean and myself, we started on the same day, on the 28th of April, 2005, in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. We walked the same way. Never we met with awareness, but we make the same friends. And one friend called Hansi, he was important that I met Jean in Finisterre. That was beside the beach the first time. And then Hansi invited Jean for dinner, and then we had the dinner together. And then we at night with other friends, we went to a special place where San Guillermo lived. That was an eremit and hermit in the 700 in Finisterre. And then it was one day, actually it wasn't 2 days, 12 years ago, one day before Jean's birthday. And it was like we have to meet. You know, that was, I think, 100 things that they have to work together that we that we met, you know. And it is an unbelievable story. I'm living in Finisterre the most time, and I'm passing nearly every day places where I met Jean, and all the time I'm thinking it's like a wonder, a beautiful wonder. But that we growed together. It was not like a first few, beautiful, it was not love on the first spot. It was a growing, you know. And look at it, it's now 12 years and still we love each other very much.
It's so beautiful. And she's going to be on the show again, I believe, next month, which is going to be great. We're going to be talking about Momenta Hub. We're going to be talk about you. Your ears are going to be buzzing and ringing wherever you are when we do that show. But it's always just a fantastic time to spend time with the both of you. And it's such a blessing that the happiness and the love is still so much there between you and Jean. Of course, I know that you often refer to her as your angel, Jean, who's listening to the show with us today as well, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Tell us about, we've only got a few minutes left, so let's spend a minute, because you mentioned Finisterre a lot, and some people are not familiar with where Finisterre is, what Finisterre is. Can you just briefly share with the listeners what and where Finisterre is for those that do not know?
Yeah. The pilgrimage goal is Santiago de Compostela, but the end of the Camino is Finisterre, what in the past people believed it was the end of the world, you know, when they believed the earth was flat. And, you know, it's the name Finisterre, Fin de Terra. And there's the kilometer stone, 0.0. And Finisterre is a magic place, and it is a Celtic place, you know. And that is where, I don't know what the percentage is, the pilgrims there coming to Finisterre. Could be 5%, could be 10%. But they are staying for a couple of days, and they have time for sharing their experience. They have time for coming down. Then after weeks walking the Camino, you know, the pilgrims, they are getting a lot. They are clearing, they are cleaning. And it is not easy going back from the Camino to the normal life, you know. And for this, it's good sitting with other people around, enjoying a glass of wine or coffee or dinner and speaking about the experience. And give each other a hug when they have a problem. And there are some tears are in eyes from people, you know, for happiness and sometimes for pain. You know, you have to say goodbye to very good pilgrim friends. But it is a beautiful place, and it is a lovely harbor. There are good restaurants, and we have a lot of friends in Finisterre. And you know what I am meeting on people in Finisterre is—it's my favorite. You know.
I believe it. You're there so often. Yeah. I've always thought that was your favorite and thing. So thank you for sharing some of that with our listeners, because I know there's always some people who are going to say, what's Finisterre? What does that mean? So thank you for taking a minute there to explain that. We are down to our final moments of the show today. Thank you so much for coming back again for the third time today. And I know that we're going to do several more of these shows as your journey continues to take off, as people become more and more aware of you and your name all over the world, which makes me very happy and very excited, because it's so deserved. Your books are so wonderful, and people need to read them and need to have a refresher with the books that you have available. And friends, you can take a look at his website at manololink.com. That's manololink.com for more information on A Life in Bali, the book about the Camino, and everything else that he's doing and up to. So thank you for coming back again, my friend. I've had a wonderful time, and hopefully you have, and our listeners, of course, have had as well.
Thank you very much, Christopher, that I can share with you and the listeners around the world, that I think sharing is very precious. And at this moment, I have a sentence from my friend Mahatma Gandhi. He said, there's no peace. There's no way to peace. Peace is the way, and I like the sentence.
Well, that's perfect. That's a wonderful way to close out our show. in our final 10 seconds. Thank you to everyone listening today. A big hello to Gene listening, and thanks again to you, Manolo, for having the time to come back and gift us with your wonderful energy and knowledge today. And until next time, everybody, take care. Lots of love, and we'll do this again sometime. Thank you, Manolo.
Thank you to you too, and to the listeners. All the best.